Thank you, praise team. If you have your Bibles today, I've been preaching and we will continue to do that, but as season comes, yeah, Children's Church is dismissed, by the way, out this way. Two beautiful ladies back there in the corner. Follow them, young people. I have been preaching, for those of you that are visiting with us, I've been preaching through the book of Malachi, but as we have come to our holiday seasons of Thanksgiving and Christmas, I'll be going and spending a little bit of time in those areas, and then we'll go back to the book of Malachi. Today, I want you to take your Bibles and turn with me to Psalms 149. Psalms 149. As we celebrate the holiday of Thanksgiving, and by the way, you know, and I've mentioned this before, you understand and know that Thanksgiving gets a bad rap. If you know that Halloween that we celebrate has become a bigger deal than it ever was in the past. And now, it's almost like you jump from Halloween to right into Christmas, and Thanksgiving just gets squished right out. But I want to say that God's people shouldn't be celebrating Halloween so much as they should be celebrating Thanksgiving. And I want you to understand that as we come into this season, what I would like for us to do is to enter into a Jewish worship of praise and see how we should be carrying out our praise and thanksgiving of the blessed Lord. Psalms 149 gives us a beautiful picture of God's people expressing praise and thanksgiving at a level that is clearly seen as something that is extremely powerful. So let me ask this question. Does the world and our own community say of us as individuals that we worship powerfully? When they see us in our lives and in our assemblies, do they say of the folks at Great Swamp Baptist Church or whatever church you are a part of, do they say there are folks that are powerful in their worship? Do they say that they are so filled with the Spirit of God, they are so in love with their Lord, that you can see it in their praise and in their thanksgiving? Now, I can tell you what they already say about us. They already say we're good at our complaints. They already say that we are good at our gossip. They already say that we are good at our sometimes seemingly hatred of one another. They already say those things about the church. They already say those things about those of us who call ourselves God's people. Those are the things that the world hears about. When they think of church, they automatically think, oh, well, did you hear what's going on down there? Did you hear what so-and-so said about so-and-so? Did you hear about the fight that took place in their business meeting? And you know the story as it goes on and on and on. What they ought to be hearing about instead is that at Great Swamp Baptist Church, or whatever church you're a part of, is that in that place there is powerful worship of the Lord. You can tell they love Him. You can tell that they praise Him. You can tell that He is the priority of their lives when you watch them in worship. Man, it is powerful. Or do they say, no, it's all just a show. There's no reality about them. They don't really care about their Lord. Worship is just something they have to do, so they do it. And they, while they do it, they complain about it. So I ask you a question today. Is our praise powerful? My message is entitled, Power in Praise. And let me read, beginning with verse 1, Psalms 149. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints. Let Israel rejoice in their Maker. Let the people of Zion be glad in their King. Let them praise His name with dancing and make music to Him with the tambourine and harp. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. May the praise of God be in their mouths and a double-edged sword in their hands to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the people, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all of the saints. Praise the Lord. Power in praise. Number one, power in praise is praise that is displayed very powerfully. Power in praise is praise that is displayed very powerfully. What do you mean by that? Well, when you read this set of verses, you'll discover a worship service that displayed their worship in a very powerful, powerful way. And at least three ways are mentioned in this set of verses that tell us their worship was powerful and how it was powerful. First, they worship the Lord in and with singing. The Bible says there in verse 1, praise the Lord, sing to the Lord a new song, His praise in the assembly of the saints. If we're going to have praise that is powerful, if there's going to be power in our praise, we must do it, number one, with singing. But I want to point out to you something that's really that's mentioned in a detailed sense. Notice what he says. Do it with what kind of song? With a new song. With a new song, the Bible says. Do it, he says, again, singing to the Lord a new song. So what does that mean? What is he referring to? Well, it's possible that this worship service is so powerful that they've gotten together and they've gotten so excited about their Lord that they've sung all the old songs and now they need to come up with a new song. Maybe that's the case. Maybe they've gone through all the old songs in their worship service and now they got to stop and come up with a new song. Now, I want to ask you a question. How many of you would say for me that the old songs is good enough? You don't have to put your hands up. I already know some of you feel that way. That the old songs are good enough. That's all you need. What I want to say to you, brothers and sisters, that for in this worship service, that when they got to praising God, they went through all the old songs and it still wasn't enough. They needed a new song. But secondly, about that song, a new song. I think the greater interpretation of this text means this. God has just given the nation of Israel some kind of new great victory over some enemy. They've destroyed their enemy in some powerful way. It's a new victory. It's a new story to tell. And here's what the author is saying under the leadership of the Holy Spirit. When God does something new in your life, when God gives you a new experience, when God gives you a new victory, when God gives you a new joy, when God does something great in your life, then we need to put that to singing. We need to turn it into a psalm and create a new song. Let me say something to you today. Everybody listen to me and hear me out. I love the old, old songs. I would sing the old, old songs over and over and over. And if that's all the songs we have, I want you to understand that's all we would sing. But I want you to understand something today. You and I need to get over this idea that the only songs that matter are the old, old songs. If all we sing is the old, old songs, then that means that God's not doing anything in our lives. But if God is at work in our lives and He's creating new experiences in our lives and giving us new victories in our lives, then we must put those songs, those words and those experiences to songs. Thank God for new songs. And thank God for a praise team that's not afraid to stand up and give you some new songs. Thank God for a praise team that's not afraid to sing the traditional songs, not afraid to sing the old songs, not afraid to sing the songs that are of different styles. And thank God they're not afraid to sing new songs. Because God wants us to do them all. He wants us to get up and rejoice over the experiences that He's given to us, the old ones and the new ones. And I thank God that churches are willing to do that. You know, it's sadly when in churches, I know people who've come to worship services I've done here and at many churches, and they'll never come back again because I don't preach from anything but just the King James Version of the Bible. And some of you out there think that's the only version of the Bible I should preach from. That's the one Jesus preached from. Did you know that? Now, how many of you know that that's not true? What year was the King James Version of the Bible written? Who can tell me? When was it written? It was written in 1611. Let me ask you a question. How many years does that mean that Jesus walked upon the earth from the year 1611? It means more than 1,600 years. The King James Version of the Bible didn't come into existence until 1,600 years after Jesus walked upon the earth. So what Bible did He have? It wasn't the King James Version. You say, "Whoo! I just lost most of you in this building." I want to tell you something. I love the King James Version of the Bible. If you ask me what my favorite version of the Bible is, I'd tell you it's the King James. I just love it. It's what I grew up with. I love the old English that it uses. But let me ask you, how many of you go around saying, "How doest thou today? Doest thou do well?" If somebody talked like that to you, what would you say? There's a place up in Columbia for them. But you see, in 1611, that's the way they talk. In 1611, they went around saying, "How are you folks doing today? Y'all doing all right?" They'd say, "There's a place up in Columbia for them." You see, we got to sing a new song. If we're going to be powerful in our praise, we got to bring God into the today. He's not just yesterday. He's also today. And He's not just today. He'll also be tomorrow. Hallelujah. And worship and praise recognizes that God is working and moving in His people at all times. And that needs to be displayed in new songs all the time. Do you know and understand that there are more songs written about Jesus Christ and about God than any other kind of songs that there are? And you know why? It's exactly that reason. Because God is always at work with his people, and therefore they've got to always be telling that story. So how did they praise God? How were their praises powerful? By doing it in singing, by singing the old songs, by singing the new songs, by telling the world about what God has done and what God is doing and what God will do. We've been preaching about the second coming of Christ a lot here lately at Great Swamp Baptist Church, because we sincerely believe that all the signs are beginning to take place in the world around us. And many of the times when we get ready to sing about those events, about what God is doing, you know what we do? We sing about songs, about Jesus is coming. Well, has he come yet? Well, he came. He's come once, but I mean, has he come in his second coming yet? No, he hadn't come in his second coming yet. Well, why are we singing about it? Because the Bible tells us he's coming again. And that's all we need to know. He's coming again. The Bible says it. The signs are coming together. We better be singing about it. And yet it's a future event. If we're going to be powerful in our praise, we'll remember the past, the present, and focus upon the future. Second, their power and their praise is very powerful. It's demonstrated through singing. And then secondly, listen to me, you Baptists, it's demonstrated through dancing. Woo! Man, I am. This might be my last Sunday. The Bible says in verse 3, let them praise his name with dancing and make music with him. To him with tambourine and harp and dancing. We all know the story about King David. We all know that the Ark of the Covenant had been taken by the Philistines when they defeated Saul and his son Jonathan. And they took the Ark of the Covenant and took it into the Philistine area. But God punished the Philistines for taking the Ark of the Covenant. And they one day said, we got to get rid of this thing. It's going to destroy us. And they put it on a cart with some ox. And even the ox that they had were ox with newborn calves. And the Bible says, surely these ox aren't going to leave their little ones. But the Bible tells us that those ox, even as they heard their little ones crying out for their moms, those ox went straight into Israel, just as straight as they could go. And when it got to Israel, the ox stopped in the land of Israel. And right where it stopped, they took the Ark of the Covenant and put it in a house right there. And the Bible tells us that David took a group of people, the nation of Israel, down to get it. And the first time that they went to get it and they started bringing it back, They were carrying that ark in a way that was displeasing to God. And a man reached out and touched it and died. God struck him dead. They stopped. They put that ark in the next closest house as they could come to. But a little later, David said, we got to get the Ark of the Covenant back in Jerusalem. A second time he went down there and he did it right. And he took the right people to carry it and took it and carried it in the right way. And here's what David did. As they went walking back to Jerusalem, he led the procession. What did he do as he led the procession into Jerusalem? He looked like he was having a party. Because the Bible says he was dancing. I don't know what kind of dancing he was doing. I don't know if he was doing the jig. I don't know what kind it was. But I'm here to tell you that all the way from where they picked up the ark, all the way back to Jerusalem, he danced leading the way, all the way back, worshiping God. So what does that mean to us? How does that apply to us today? Well, let me say this to you. I don't believe you have to literally, physically get up and dance to worship God. Although, if you feel like doing it, it's all right with me. I might join you. But here's what I'm going to say I believe that it means. You use every ounce of strength and energy within your body to give praise unto our God. Whether that is when we are assembled together to worship the Lord, or whether that is where you're out living your life, give all the energy and strength that you have with your body to give worship and praise to God. Live it out. Flesh it out with your body. In the most powerful way that you can, to give Him praise and adoration. Does the world see that from your body you're giving it all to praise Jesus Christ? Does the energy exude out of your body? Or is it used for other things? Listen, you all know I'm a racing fanatic. You all know that. You ought to come and watch a race with me sometime. When my man or my men are out front, or Ford's out front, I get down right near the end of the race. I get down on my knees in the floor, and I start shouting, and I'm doing this. All right, boys, let's get to the front. Let's go. I'm shouting. I'm using every emotion I've got in my body. I'm giving it to them. Go to my man. And you say, he looks awful foolish. What do you think you look like when you go to the football game and you put all that colored stuff on your body and you stand up and you start shouting and you look the idiot, the high idiot, high heaven of high heaven? But you don't care, because your team is winning and you're going to support them and you're going to stand behind them. Let me ask you a question. When was the last time you used that kind of energy to worship God? When was the last time that you gave Him praise with all that's within you? I encourage you today to understand something. I don't want you to get up and get crazy and get wild. The Bible also says things should be done decent in order so that it doesn't create confusion. But just understand, you and I need to let it go. I like what one of the songs said today that we sing, and maybe you can help me, Richard. I try to remember the words, but the word says, turn your blessings into praise. And then it says, and how does it say it? Let your shame do it in, how, you remember it? Do I have the words here? Which one is it? Hold it now, we'll get it. Oh, is it on the screen behind me? No, blessed be the name. Where is it? We got it. No, we can't find it. If you see it. But anyway, what it said was, don't be ashamed to let it go. Do away with your shame when it comes to praising God. Don't worry about what other people might think about how crazy you are. Give all the energy you have to praise the Lord. Then let me say to you, third, they praised in powerful singing, dancing, and with instruments. Yes, with instruments. What the Bible says down here in verse 3 is that it says to make music to Him with a tambourine and harp. But then if you jump to the last chapter of the Bible, which is the next chapter, it uses almost every kind of instrument known to mankind at that time. Here's what it says. Use every available tool that you have to give praise to God. He's worthy of it. But, oh, preacher, we can't have drums in a church. We can't have guitars in a church. No, preacher, that's just an unholy thing. We can't play horns and trumpets and no, sirree. That might get somebody's leg might start moving a little bit and they might want to stand up and dance a little bit. I want to say something to you. Who do you think gave man the ability to create those instruments? And if God gave it to us,
Let's don't let the world have all the fun. Let's don't let the world have all the joy. Let's don't let the world have all the excitement. Let's use those instruments that God gave us for His glory and honor. I thank God for a praise team. I hope one day we get up here and we got a trumpet player, clarinet player, trombone player, whatever, all those, a harp player, a fiddle player, or if you want to call it a violin, whatever you want to call it, I pray that God will give us all of those things. And I keep saying I want us to be the first church with a marching band. And I used to say that all the time, and I've really meant that and wanted that until I remembered that there is a church that's beat us to that already. You know who it is? The Salvation Army. They've been playing band instruments for a long time. Listen, God's people are to give thanks and praise and adoration to God. They're singing, they're dancing through instruments. Oh, that our praise would be powerful. Then let me say that our praise, its power and praise, is demonstrated not only very powerfully, but it's demonstrated in all places. The Bible says right there in verse 1 that they did it in the assembly of the saints. And then the Bible says down there in verse 5, they did it in their homes, for He said, let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. And then they did it on the battlefield. When you read verses 6 and following, they were singing on the battlefield. So what that tells us, brothers and sisters, is that the worship from God's people that's going to be powerful must be done in all places. Ask you a question. How many of you worship God at church and you get excited, but then when you leave this place, instead of the songs and the praises of God coming out of your lips, it's cuss words and it's gossip and it's complaints and it's those kind of things that bring down the cause of Christ. But then when you get right back to church, oh, you smile and you sing with your lips. But the only place you do it is right inside this building. God, forgive us. And help us to understand that power and praise is praise that's demonstrated in all places. And listen to me, I'm moving this along quickly because my first point, I got so excited about it, I just focused upon it. Power and praise is demonstrated very powerfully. Power and praise is demonstrated in all places. Power and praise is praise that delights over a particular purpose. Now here's the point. What is it that's going to get me so excited that I use all the energy within me that causes me to sing a new song? It causes me to praise every instrument possible. What is it that's going to get me to give praise to our God like that? There is a particular purpose stated that will cause you to rejoice like that. And what is it? It's simple. Look at what the Bible says there in verse 4 and 5. For the Lord takes delight in His people. He crowns the humble with salvation. Let the saints rejoice in this honor and sing for joy on their beds. How many of you would tell me today that you can't hit a note, you can't sing anything that would come anywhere near to being called singing? Maybe you would say that's you today. Put your hand up if you think that's you. Okay, some of you are being honest, and some of you aren't. And some of you that think you're being honest really aren't, because I know I've heard some of you, you really can't sing. But some of you really can't. But here's what I want to say to you. If you're understanding why you ought to sing, even if you can't, you'll still try, because you'll know what Jesus Christ has done to you. What has He done? The Bible says He takes delight in you. The Bible says that He crowned you with salvation. And just the fact that God takes delight in Ralph Lee, just the fact that God has crowned me with salvation, is just enough to cause me to lift up my voice, even if I couldn't sing. I still would try, because I know what my God has done for me. And here's what I absolutely believe. If you can't sing, but you know why you ought to be singing, and you try, I absolutely believe that when that reaches the throne of heaven, that that sounds like the most beautiful song that's ever been sung, because you're trying with all your heart something that you can't do, because you know you want to love Him and praise Him even if you can't do it. You're trying, and God accepts that is the greatest of all music He's ever heard. And then I close with this. Power and praise is not only to be demonstrated very powerfully. Power and praise is not only to be demonstrated in all places. Power and praise is not only praise, it delights in a particular purpose. But listen to this. Power and praise is praise that defeats and destroys the wicked power. I got to read this and close it in these last set of verses. And I really didn't have anybody who gave this to me in any of the commentaries I read, but it jumps out to me that way. Listen to verse 6 and following. May the praise of God be in their mouths, and a double-edged sword in their hands, to inflict vengeance on the nations and punishment on the peoples, to bind their kings with fetters and their nobles with shackles of iron, to carry out the sentence written against them. This is the glory of all of His saints. Praise the Lord. So what do you mean, preacher, when you say power and praise is praise that defeats and destroys the wicked powers? I want to say this to you. If you read Romans chapter 13, it tells us what is the responsibility of government. And you know what the responsibility of the government is, the national government? It is to protect its people and destroy the enemy. That's right. We as a nation need to go against our enemy and go against them strong and defeat them, because I want you to understand, sadly, not all people are going to be saved, and many people will be led and guided by Satan, who will come to destroy us, and therefore we have to have military to destroy and fight back against the enemy. But you know what? The enemy comes against you every day. How many of you found that Satan comes against you every day? Huh? Yeah. You know how to defeat him? There's power in praise. Here's what he's saying. I believe he's saying, if you want to defeat the enemy, he says there must be praise of God in the mouths of His saints and a double-edged sword in their hand. Now, the double-edged swords, we know in the New Testament, refers to the Bible, the Word of God. And here's what I believe happens. If God's people will sing the praises of God, if God's people will take His Word and sing it and lift it up, if God's people will go about singing with the top of their voice, whistling, singing, whatever, the praises of God, we will bring down our enemies and our strongholds. Because the Bible says that God inhabits what? The praise of His people. When you and I go about every day praising God, singing of God's great victory, singing of our experiences with God, singing of what God did in the Word of God, when we go about singing it, the enemy can't hang around. The enemy has to flee. When we sing, it's a tool that God uses to bring down our enemy. I want to ask you a question today. Is your praise powerful? Does the world and the community know that there's somebody who's not ashamed of their God? They sing about it all the day long. They worship Him in all places. They do it with singing. They do it with dancing. They do it with instruments. They do it with a particular purpose, that God has crowned me with salvation and I am the delight of His life. I like that new song. I'm going to try to remember what it says. What does it say? What's it called? God, Good Father. That it? You are a good, good Father. It is who you are. It is who you are. It is who you are. But now listen to this. And I am loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. I want to say something to you today. It may be that you don't worship God powerfully because you've never experienced that salvation that causes us to praise His name. And in this room today, if you want to worship Him the way you should, it starts by experiencing the salvation that He has to offer freely to you today. And then He'll start taking delight in you like you've never, ever known before. And when He does, you won't be able to but help but worship, praise, and exalt His name. You say to me, preacher, I don't understand why you preach the way you do. Why don't you just stand behind that pulpit and put your notes down here and just read it to us? There's some preachers that do that, and that's okay. That's just the way God made them. But I can tell you this much. When I stand up and preach, as long as there's breath within me, I'm going to do it with all the power within me because I know my God deserves it. And He deserves it because I know that He has saved me. I know that I'm on my way to glory. I know that I belong to Him. I know that Satan is defeated. I know that the enemy will not win in the end. And I know that the praise of His name gives me victory. So I ask you today, will you start today and say, God, my praise is going to be powerful. Let's pray. Our Heavenly Father, I want to thank You that You allowed us to step into a Jewish worship service in the Old Testament here and see that they let loose. They didn't worry about shaming themselves like David. They didn't care what others thought. They let it go. They gave every ounce of energy to worship Your name. Father, forgive us that we become so complacent. Forgive us that we've forgotten just who You are and what You've done for us. Forgive us, Father, that we just think it's got to be a certain way and only a certain way, and You can't step outside of that, or You're not really worshiping the Lord. Help us, Father, to sing new songs, to play new instruments. Help us, Father, to use all of our energy in all places, because of who You are and what You've done. And then we will see the enemy began to be destroyed. Lord, I pray if there's anyone in this room today that does not know the Lord Jesus Christ, that even now, where they're seated, they'll say to you, dear God, from their heart, not out loud, but from their heart, they'll say to you, Lord, I'm lost. I'm a sinner. I'm undone. And I can't save myself. And I come to you, Lord Jesus Christ, the glorious Son of God, who came to earth. I believe you lived a perfect life. I believe you died on the cross to pay for my sins, not yours. You had none. And I believe you arose from the dead 3 days later. And right now, I'm crying out to you to save me. Forgive me. Become my Lord and Savior. And fill my heart with your Spirit that will result in praise that is powerful. Thank you for saving me today. Now, with your eyes closed and nobody looking around, and I'm not going to embarrass you, I'm not going to come to you. I just want to pray quietly for you. If that was your prayer today, to trust Christ, would you put your hand up? I'm not going to mention your name out loud. I'm just going to pray quietly for you. Is there anyone in this room who put their hand up? Father, in the name of Jesus, as we have this worship, this invitation, you work your way and your will in this service today, and we'll give you the praise for it all. In Jesus' name, amen. We're going to stand up. I know it's a little bit awkward. I'm going to be right down here. If you want to come around and pray around this altar about being a powerful praiser, you want to come to me and surrender your heart and life to Jesus, or whatever God may be leading you to do, as we stand and as we sing, you come during this invitation.